This is Stu Strauss, the Woodsman, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Thank you so much, Stu Strauss from Twin Peaks. For those of you who have seen Twin Peaks Season 3, Stu Strauss plays the Woodsman, whose face floats off into the sky while he's sitting there in the jail cell. I'm excited about this episode. We are going to be talking with Alex Basile. She does merch for Yachtly Crew. So the next time you go to a Yachtly Crew show, say hello to Alex. She will be right over there by the t-shirts, the hats, the stickers. And she also makes some really cool earrings, too. Take a close look at her earrings. Very well constructed. Alex is going to teach us about something called train hopping. Others call it freight hopping. And it's just such a fascinating culture to me. So she's going to teach us about this. This interview takes place outside of Jam Cellars in Napa Valley. And Yachtly Crew had just played there that night. And Jam Cellars had like a little after party. So I thought this is a great time to talk to Alex about this. There are still so many questions I still have yet to ask her. And that is for another episode. So buckle up. We also got a fun fact. Before we start that out, we got a fun fact from Henry D. Horse. Thank you, Henry D. Horse, for your fun facts. And also thank you in advance to Blythe Baines for closing out the show. Without further ado, I present to you Alex Basile.
Here's a fun fact about hobos. A number one is arguably the most famous hobo in the United States. His given name is Leon Ray Livingston, and he was born in 1872, and he was a lifelong wanderer. He was riding the rails and stowing away on ships, starting at the age of 11, and then he began to write about his journeys. That's another fun fact.
12:07 a.m. in the a.m. We just played the, what's the name of that theater?
Uptown.
The Uptown Theater out here in Napa Valley, wine country, as they say. Jam Cellars owns the theater, right?
Yes.
So we're at this little after party here. I'm with Alex, and, you know, I'm fascinated about the fact that she used to ride, I was watching a lot of these videos about freight hopping and the lives of these people and how they get into it and stuff like that. And little did I realize that I actually, you know, end up working alongside with Alex. If you ever come out to a Yachtly Crew show, you'll see her at the merch booth. And so I just want to know, like, what was the first thing that inspired you to actually take the courage and the bravery to hop on the train and to think you could actually go fast enough to actually make it in there?
So just a little small background of the people I met to go train hopping with. I was an addict. I was a heroin addict for a couple years. I'm currently almost six years clean in November.
Congratulations.
And this group of people I used to do a lot of drugs with, and they asked me one day, like, hey, we're about to take like 2 weeks and we're gonna go train hopping to New Mexico. And I was like, oh, I've heard about it in like folk punk songs and everything, because
what references were you privy to before you kind of came across, you know, these people who were into it?
So there was this one band, or it was kind of a group, it was a folk punk group, I can't remember, but one of their songs was about train hopping to New Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. And
whoa.
If I can find that song, I'll send it to you later.
Amazing.
So you can add it in.
Imagine how many people it inspired to do that.
They weren't that big, they were very small, but they played locally in Ventura one time, and I went to go see, and I've always wanted to do it. So my friends asked me, it was a group of five, if I wanted to go for the first time. I was 15, and it was a group of 15-year-olds. Well, I was the only 15-year-old. There was a 17-year-old, a 26-year-old, two 23-year-olds, and then a 32-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's five in total. But they're like, yeah,
was
no, we go.
The 32-year-old sort of a veteran in this? Had been doing
yes,
this for years?
Yes, he actually lives in his van. He travels around. So he parked his van out, and so we all packed in his van and drove up to California City, where some of the trains roll through. And they said, just pack a bag, pack enough to, you know, travel for 2 weeks. Good luck on trying to shower and stuff. You only shower trains, or not train stations, truck stops if you can, if we pass by one. And we're going to go all the way to New Mexico, and we're going to go all the way back. I can't remember, it's this little town in New Mexico where one of the major train stations is. So we hopped on one of the trains from Cal City, and I didn't know what to expect. Everyone was like, okay, we got the van parked. It was like in this weird desert area. And I used to go off-roading in Cal City, but I've never been to this area before. Mm. And they're like, oh, look, there's a train. And this train's probably going like maybe 5 miles per hour. It was just kind of, you know, putt-putting. And it wasn't at a station, so everyone's just like, okay, everyone got their bags. And I'm like rushing
out.
Out
in the open.
Yeah. And was like, okay, run. And I was like, what? Run. So we were all just running up to the train because it was definitely getting up in speed.
So someone just said, like, right at that moment, like, we're deciding on this, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Was it the older fella?
The older fella's like,
the leader of it, huh?
He was basically the ringleader of everything. So basically what we said was, okay, we're running. And he's like, okay, I see this one. I don't see any locks on it. Turns out there was a lock on it. Someone grabbed bolt cutters out of the bag, undid one of the major locks, and then we all just kind of jumped in, and it was just this empty cart. It was freezing because it was,
oh my gosh,
it was still winter time in the beginning of the year. This was like around,
oh my gosh,
my 15th birthday. And
you were
15? This was like in March. So we just jumped in, and he's like, okay, this is going to be our camp for, you know, a couple days. Until we find the next spot.
You got into a car is what you're saying.
Yep, we just ran. He unlocked the door, opened it up. We were still running against right next to the train, and we just hopped in.
How did he know how to unlock the door?
Oh, he had bolt cutters.
I guess through all those years, what was he doing? Like hanging on the side and like trying to open the door while he was hanging on?
Yep. And it was one of the really, really, really old wooden freight cars. It wasn't like the Union Pacific, like metal ones. It was just an old.
So one hand he's hanging on?
One hand
he's... Another hand he's trying to cut
the
bolt?
It was the kind of step, and then there was a bar to kind of hold on. So he had one arm in the bar, so he had both of his hands free, and then just got the lock, cut it off.
This is like a movie.
And then shoved open the door, so it was wide enough to jump in there. And first time I tried the jump, I fell straight on my face. I got up, had to run extra hard.
Dude.
And I don't like running at all.
Because slowly it is picking up speed.
Yeah. It was probably going about now 7 miles per hour. And I finally got up, run, jumped.
Dude.
I was only probably about like from my rib cage up, like on the train.
Dude,
so they had to like, someone grabbed the back of my belt and just dragged me in. So I was like, okay, that was like one of the most scary shits of my life, I swear.
So with something like that, everyone must be in this hyper, you know.
Oh, it's an adrenaline rush. Because if you're not getting on that train, you're getting left behind. And you're going to have to sleep in the van for 2 weeks until someone comes back.
So it's helping you rely on instinct, I guess. It's kind of training that aspect, huh?
It was
like
pretty gnarly. It was pretty gnarly.
Because
and thank God no one.
You got to feel it like a surfer at a wave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, oh, there's a okay, zip, we're going.
Yep. So then we did that. We all of us kind of packed snacks, and this dude had like a little what's it called? He kind of like had like an electronic stove cooker, and we just kind of made soup that night, just hung out. We all had our sleeping bags. It was freezing to death.
Oh my god.
Like me and my friend Michael, we ended up like splitting we connected the two sleeping bags because I was freezing to death. I was like, someone needs to like hold me now. Mind you, I was one of the two chicks that were there, and so me and Michael just kind of like curled up next to each other, you know, and it was still like my lips were almost blue in the morning because of how cold it was.
how many things did you pack? How big was your backpack?
I had one of those like big camping packs where like the sleeping bag kind of rolls up on the top. I only packed 3 shirts, 3 pairs of pants, 4 things of underwear, 4 pairs of socks, and 2 bras. And
With snacks.
And I had a couple snacks, and I had a big water bottle jug that we had to, like, throw on there. So when we're running towards the train, we throw all our stuff in there first, and then we jump in.
Oh, shit.
Because there's no way we're jumping in with our backpacks.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier, but I fell straight on my face when I first did it, so.
Dude. How heavy was your backpack, would you say?
Like 15 pounds. It's a pretty heavy backpack.
So, I mean, that takes a lot of guts, and it takes having to actually trust everybody that you're running with, because it's got to be an all for one and one for all, as was demonstrated earlier in your story.
And
where,
I wasn't
like, you're on halfway, right?
And I wasn't close friends with these people. These were just people that, like, once in a blue moon, I would do drugs with. Because I met them all through my ex-boyfriend who initially got me into drugs.
Oh.
And we used to go to, like, these houses. They're kind of just, like, drug houses where you just go hang out and smoke and do whatever. They're, like, abandoned. So I met through there. And then I just kind of, like, clicked with everyone.
Like, opium dens? Like, you'd see in the old, like, Sherlock
like
Holmes
they weren't,
type of era?
Like, they weren't bad houses. Like, they weren't, like, barred up. They're just kind of just old paint, but you know, the couches were like new, and like they had like beds in there, and no sheets on the beds, but like a couple pillows and stuff. Like, you'd feel relatively okay. And I stayed in there like a couple times because I was like, you know, too drugged out to go back to my family, and so it wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty nice compared to like what you would see like on like Cops, like the show Cops, like in Florida and stuff like that. It wasn't that bad because it was in, actually the one I mostly went to was in Moore Park, but it was like in the back of Moore Park, like kind of in like a field. It was weird.
The house is in a field,
kind of in a field, like there's a
barn?
Neighborhood. No, it wasn't like a barn, it was like a neighborhood. I can't, to be honest, I could not remember what street it was on, but there was like a neighborhood, and then there was like a little bit of like a walkway, like a very long driveway, and it was like this house. It was like a two-story house. It said it was like sold, and it was like in escrow or whatever the hell. So the person that like owned it was going for relatively cheap, but so
was
he
this
just
like
kind of
a
gave
known place that like
it wasn't
just knew this is where
you would see about like maybe 10 or 15 people just kind of like crashing there.
Did you
like
ever recognize people that you had known like from around the neighborhood or anything?
Not
like,
at
whoa,
first.
That's surprising.
Not at first, because I lived in Thousand Oaks at the time. And I only really knew those people, like I wasn't really friends with them. I just kind of went there and did drugs until I went to rehab, and that's when I'm like, oh, I know who you are.
Oh.
So, but back to the train. So, yeah. You know, we'd get in there, we unpack all our stuff, you know, main guy is making soup for everybody. And he's actually really smart that he got these dehydrated soup packs. So they'd be really light, and all you have to do is just add some water.
Smart idea.
And you'd be fine. And I know a lot of hikers do it, so I'm guessing that's where he got the idea from. And then we just travel for a couple days, get off the train, go to, like, a truck stop until maybe another train came by, which usually would be that day. Because the train wouldn't stop. We would literally just have to jump off of it. Because there would either be a checkpoint where sometimes they check the cars and stuff, so we'd have to get off.
So
and
you
sometimes
kind of already
we
know where the checkpoint was? Could you see it from far, you know, like far enough in the distance?
Honestly, I never
it.
Actually saw like the checkpoints or the stations, because we got off way before, because it is really, really, really illegal to stay in.
Right.
And
right.
Honestly, like, I was high out of my mind the whole entire time. I did a lot of opiates, whether it was pills, I was doing a lot of heroin. It's just, I honestly don't remember much. But the small details that I can, I will. Because I was basically just nodding off the whole time. Or I was eating. Or we would be going to the truck stops and taking a shower real quick. Jumping on the next train that would come through. Sometimes it would take a couple minutes. Sometimes it would take a couple hours. And one time we even had to wait 2 days for another train to pull through. And
so you just slept in the nature.
Basically, we would find like a cool area just to kind of like set up camp. And it was, we were in like Arizona. This was like my third time going, And we were in Arizona where we had to wait the 2 days.
It was still cold out at this point?
No, this was in the summertime. So it was like, well, it was like transitioning from like spring to summer. So it wasn't like too burning hot in Arizona, but it was like hot enough to where like we can't fucking sleep in these sleeping bags.
So how'd you know how much money to take with you on one of these journeys? I mean, because I assume at the rest stop, you probably have to buy more water or something.
Oh, we would take like maybe 30, 40 bucks with us because we had enough food to travel. And the water, you know, like the water jug fillers at the truck stops were like a couple cents for like a gallon or so. So we'd do that. And, you know, sometimes we buy snacks or cigarettes on the way. But, you know, through all that, I'm surprised that we never, ever got stopped by cops. No cops ever, like, bothered us or anything. The one time we did get bothered was this dude driving a truck, and he was like, this was when I was the only girl in the crew. I say crew, but it was just a group. And he's like, you're, like, my daughter's age. Like, are you okay? And, you know, I was, like, nodding off and everything. And he didn't even call or anything. I'm like, dude, I'm just, like, trying to discover my life and blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, to be honest. And he gave me, like, he, like, kind of harassed the other dudes for a second. But at the end, he kind of just, like, gave me an envelope with, you know, $200. And he's like, please be safe. I wouldn't want to see my daughter like this. And please don't spend this on drugs. I know you can be a better person. And I still have that note somewhere in a lot of my stuff, wow, in my storage unit.
It's incredible.
And his name was Greg. He was probably one of the sweetest people I've ever met throughout the trip because he was just being a protective dad. And, you know, if some reason Greg ever listened to, like, this story, I just want to let you know that I didn't spend a cent on drugs. I actually got a really good meal to myself that night. Well, I kind of, like, got KFC and, like, spanned it over a couple days and got, like, you know, energy drinks and stuff to kind of, like, hydrate. But I kind of, like, this dude's giving me money. I'm not going to be, like, a dick about it. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a very honest person, and I don't, like, you know, I don't want him thinking, you know, I'm that shitty of a person because I don't like looking like a shitty person to people. Mm-hmm. And I don't like acting shitty to people. So, Greg, if you ever hear this...
He said just the right thing to kind of plant a seed in your brain that just kind of grew through the years.
Yeah, honestly, because I hate being an asshole to, like, anybody. So, Greg, thank you for the KFC and the energy drinks.
And so is he the ringleader of the
No, situation? Greg was the random trucker that came by and, like, made sure I was okay.
What? This is interesting. This part of okay.
Yeah.
So this dude was not part of the crew. He was a trucker that you came across.
He was a concerned father because he had
that's incredible.
Like a 16-year-old daughter, and he saw me traveling with a bunch of older dudes. So he's like,
gosh,
are you okay? You know, being concerned. And then he gave me that note and the money, and, you know.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, someone cares about me that much, even though they don't even know my name. But mm-hmm. I knew his name was Greg because he told me. I just didn't want to say my name. But yeah, because it's,
you know,
like,
what's so interesting is that, like, the universe will place the people in our lives, you know, and if our frequency is open enough to, we will notice it. We will see the sign. We will mm-hmm. catch the omen. And the fact that he arrived at that moment in time, right at that time, yeah, right when you kind of needed it, and it helped kind of, like, get things in momentum, I feel.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people thought that we were, like, homeless train hoppers, which it wasn't the case. As I was explaining earlier, you know, we weren't the train hoppers that, you know, were homeless. We were just addicts that just went on a vacation, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, and our vacation was being reckless. We loved being reckless. And, you know, we weren't the hobo hoppers, as some people I've heard call them. You know, because here's a situation, you know, me and my group went into this one car, and there was this one dude. And he was definitely a hobo hopper. Like, he lives his life on the trains, on the tracks, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
He was definitely methed out. You can tell.
Whoa.
He was scratching at his face and everything.
Oh, boy.
And that was the guy who stabbed my friend in the ribs.
Oh, jeez.
Because we went into his car.
Oh, no.
And you don't go into
another
man's car.
And just woke him right up, and he, you know, because you don't know what you're going to find on the other side.
We instantly jumped out, ran back to the van, got this guy medical attention. And then we were like, well, we don't want to cancel our trip. You know, we're already, like, here. let's just continue. My friend ended up surviving.
Yeah, what did your friend do? Who got stabbed? Where did he go?
So he was 17. So they released him back into his parents' custody. And I didn't know this about this friend because I didn't really know him that well. He ran away from home like 2 years ago and lived his life on the streets.
Oh my gosh.
You know, he couch hopped everywhere because he was always at someone's house staying over. So he wasn't like on the streets. But, you know, a couple nights, sometimes you have to sleep under a bridge.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, they ended up getting him back into his parents, to his parents, and he got the care that he needed. He got sent away to, like, this, you know, summer camp where they, like, basically trap the kids and stuff, so, and, like, make it was this camp in Utah where it's, like, a send-away or whatever it was
like
called.
A Mormon camp?
It wasn't Mormons. It was not a religious camp. They just kind of kept people there. Like, I've heard horror stories of, like, send-away camps.
What is that?
A send-away camp, it's, like, where you send your bat... If your kid is, like, you know, disobedient and shit, and
like
you just can't deal with it anymore...
Military school or something?
Think military school, but, like, a summer camp where you don't get contact with your parents for, like, the first 6 weeks, and sometimes they can get really abusive over there.
Oh, geez.
I had a friend of a friend. She was on... Oh, God, it was that one talk show. God, the Cash Me Outside girl was on it, and she also got sent away to one of those camps.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't Murray. It was the dude with the mustache. Dr. Phil. He sends, like, the bad kids to camps after a show sometimes. Boy. So my friend's friend went on his show. And I don't know her name. It was my friend Trinity. It was her friend that went on the show. And I didn't even see the episode. I just know that she got sent away to one of those camps. And when she came back, she was the quietest person in the world. I mean, this girl used to, like, go smoke weed, you know, go party, did all the Xanax and stuff. And she came back. She looked awful.
Oh, no.
So that's why, like, I would never...
They brainwashed her, huh?
Oh, they'll get, like... pretty gruesome. Like, the girl that I was talking about,
Orange type stuff,
the girl that I was talking about, the Cash Me Outside girl, Bad Baby her name is, she went to one of those send away camps after Dr. Phil, and she has horror stories, and, you know, she wants an apology and everything. And you know, these camps would get sued, and one person at her camp ended up killing himself. And you know, you can see, like, the list of send away camps, and a lot of kids have died there. So,
sounds villainous.
It is. Man, we got way off topic.
But it's crazy to think that these things exist, and the fact that those things exist, and imagine what kind of effect that has on the
brains. What the worst part is that they'll make the kids lie to the parents and say, like, yeah, I'm okay. You know, or they would get shoved into, like, this cabin with, like, no sunlight or anything. They would give them food every once in a while and maybe let them out. But, you know, there's a lot of horror stories on the internet.
There's, like, they're treating them like creatures.
It's to make them obedient, because these are, like, you know, shithead kids that just don't like to listen to their parents, or,
see,
you know, some of them
the
get arrested or anything.
Because decades down the line,
it,
right? Suddenly
such,
like,
it's
whoa.
So, it just fills them with a whole bunch of trauma. You know, it's just like your parents couldn't, you know, take care of you. So they just, you know, gave you up. And when you're at one of those camps, you know, you don't own them anymore. The camps do. It's kind of like how mental institutes, when you, you know, go on a 3-day hold, the state owns you. It's kind of like that. I don't know what the legality of it is, but, like, you're basically owned by them. Their parents gave up their right to this kid to go to this camp. And, you know, if you want to send a letter home, they have to proofread through everything so you're not saying shit, you know. Yeah, I'm not saying every send-away camp is like that. But majority of the stories that I've heard, I don't think I've heard of a good story come out of any of those camps.
And so were some of these folks the train hoppers?
It was just my one friend that went.
Oh, he was caught. Okay, so he...
Yeah,
or
when he got stabbed
he
in
got
the
stabbed.
Ribs, he went
and
to the hospital.
To
his parents got him in, got him healthy, and sent him away.
Oh, my
god! I never saw him again.
Oh, my god!
I never saw him again. I honestly don't even think he's alive. Because
if he is, what's his name?
His name...
Even just his first name. Wouldn't it be interesting if
it's
somehow made its way to him?
It's funny because I didn't even know his full name We just called him Rooster. Because every morning he would kind of like go through withdrawals and he kind of like make this weird like rooster noise. So we always called him Rooster.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
That just kind of sparked in me. Like, I didn't realize that I never knew his actual name. Like, I probably have heard it like a couple times. I was just too high to remember.
Did a lot? I'm getting this feeling that maybe as a result of this, maybe there might be a commonality of creating aliases.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you have a different name when you were out there?
No. People just call me Alex. Or I would be called Dos Equis because I have two X's in my name. So, you know. Or people would just say Dos. But I was mainly called Alex. It's just when I wasn't paying attention or nodding off, then they would scream out, like, Dos Equis, Dos, are you okay? Like, wake up, you're fine, etc. Just like if someone is, like, trying to get my attention kind of thing. Because I never really paid attention. I was always nodding off. Like I've said, like, a lot of the memories that I have of the hopping, mm-hmm. I can't tell you what we did on the cart other than drugs and eat. Sometimes, if we were even able to eat. The reason why we had soups was because it was, like, the only thing we would get down. If it was, like,
Well,
yeah, when you're, like, you know.
Is it very stressful? Or is that what you're implying? Or what do you mean?
Oh, no. When you're high off your ass, you can't eat. When you're on opiates, you cannot eat. Because we are all doing heroin.
So, in a very strange way, it was almost good that you, well, didn't have to try to find ways to eat, I guess. If you weren't, you know,
I was very, very malnourished. I was very skinny. All of us are. You can look at, like, any heroin addict.
How often are you able to drink water, at least?
So that was the one. So we had a set of rules. One rule was not go on the top of the trains, you know, because we weren't going to be that fucking stupid. We weren't going to try and fall off. Two, you got to force yourself to drink water no matter how sick you get. If you throw up, guess what? Now you got to drink all that back in. Not the throw up, obviously,
right.
But, like, you got to drink the same amount in because you need to keep yourself hydrated to survive through this. And, like, even though we were high out of our minds, we still stayed sober to a, like, we weren't getting too high. Sure, I don't have any memories, but I also blocked a lot of it out because a lot of it was trauma because, you know, it's not the best thing in the world, you know. But, yeah, that was, like, another rule was you gotta drink the water. Like, there was only a couple rules, you know. Don't separate, you know. And don't hop on a cart with someone else in it already.
Mm.
Hence why my friend got stabbed. So if you see someone in that cart, don't bother jumping in. Granted, the one time we did and my friend got stabbed, we didn't even see the guy. He was covered in blankets. We just thought it was kind of like a mountain of blankets.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was like a total...
So he stabbed him and he fell off the train, huh?
Huh? My friend?
So, yeah, your buddy got stabbed and he fell off the train, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't... He was still on it. We just kind of like... So the train was going pretty fast, so we kind of...
Shit.
We kind of just threw him off and then we all jumped off at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Because we didn't want to be a part of that because the dude, like I said, the dude that stabbed him was met the fuck out. Like, it was pretty gnarly.
Gosh.
And, you know, if you see people, you know, doing parkour when they jump and go to, like, a lower ground, they usually do a roll. That's usually what we have to do. I sucked at that. I literally just decided to bust up. Like, my knees were in so much pain. Hence why my knees are actually pretty bad. Also from my accident.
So instead of, like, doing a drop roll kind of thing, you just
I kind of just fell. I just fell. Because... It, you know, it's pretty high up, but I just decided to fall.
So would you
really
just jump out in open fields, or were they cornfields, or what were
So when my friend got stabbed, it was still in Cal City, so we just kind of jumped on dirt. It was hard. It sucked. You know, rock went in my back. It wasn't fun.
The rock went in your back?
Well, it wasn't, like, terrible, but, you know, it just hurt. I had a pretty gnarly bruise.
What's going on? We're
going? Heading out.
We're heading out?
As are we.
Yep. Everybody's heading out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Make like a baby.
Are we going the same direction or what?
I'm following them. We're going to the van.
Oh, that's right. They got a different thing. Okay, so tell me more about this. So how many times did you encounter somebody who was already in a train car?
Twice. So
oh, my
that
gosh.
Was, One of the other times, he wasn't, like, crazy, but he's like, get the fuck out. This is my train. So we just hopped off and into a different cart.
Uh-huh.
And that wasn't...
That was the guy who stabbed your friend, right?
No, no, no. This was just another time.
Oh, this is the second one. What did that guy look like? Do you remember?
Old.
Was it light in there? Was it dark in there?
So it was light, but he was just old, had a really long beard.
Oh my God.
He just didn't want to be fucked with.
Oh my God.
So.
Interesting characters.
So we're like, you know what? We're not going to, like, you know, go against him. Uh-huh. We're just going to be respectful, and we just, you know, hop in another cart.
Did you try to swing to the other car? Like, because I imagine there could be a space between the cars, and you go, zoop, you know, to kind of move you forward a little bit faster.
No, we only hop in the openings. Because we don't want to risk falling.
Uh-huh. That's a good plan.
So, and, you know, it's hard
to... Oh, shit! Watch out. Oh, boy. Holy cow. That dog almost just ran right across. Thank God that person stopped when they did. Oh, my God. That was terrifying. Yeah. So, okay, so jump right off the train as soon as you see this person.
Yeah, and, you know, we hop off, and then we just find another car to find.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was hard finding the carts that were available to hop in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I would have been hopping a lot more times, but sometimes there just wasn't a cart to find. And, you know, Cal City was only like a 2.5-hour or 3-hour drive from us, so it wasn't that much of a big deal if we couldn't find one.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So what was the longest you had to wait around for another train to come along?
So if we didn't hop on initially...
Uh-huh.
Then, and if we were still, like, in the same place we were originally starting at,
uh-huh.
And if there wasn't one in the next hour, we'd just go home. We're like, you know what? We're not fucking waiting. We'll just do this again another time.
Oh.
Because sometimes my friend, ringleader...
Wouldn't you have to, like, go... I mean, what if you're out there and, like, you're halfway to New Mexico or whatever?
Oh, then we would have to wait.
Right.
We wouldn't, you know...
Did you have, like, a time frame? Like, okay, we're going to do this in 2 weeks, or, like, how did you...
Usually the trips would be 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh. Did the ringleader know the train schedule, or how did that work?
Kind of, but kind of not really. I don't know really how he did everything, to be completely honest.
So he just must have been that advanced in his studies of this kind of nature.
Yep, basically.
Oh, my gosh. So, oh, my gosh. So, did anybody ever bring music instruments?
Oh, yeah, like...
Really? Like, what kinds?
Guitars. Just guitars.
Oh, my God. So people would be running along with the guitar, a ukulele?
One person brought a ukulele. It was pretty cool.
Whoa, that's great.
One person brought a slide flute. That was actually nice.
Oh, my God, I love it.
And, you know what? Surprisingly, no one brought a... What's that little rectangle instrument?
Oh.
I'm blanking out.
Kazoo?
Yes, kazoo. Surprisingly, no one brought a fucking kazoo. How sad is that?
Yeah, because that's the most portable music instrument you can use. And in some cases, very potent.
Potent.
No, I think I'm going to take the legroom instead.
Oh, that's right, my jacket's over there.
Thank you for the drive, Tommy Bowie. I really do appreciate it. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, here, let me take this out of your way, okay?
I'm sitting in the corner right now.
Oh, you're going to sit in the corner? Well, who's going to sit here? All right, hold on a second. Let me take this with me into the middle. I'm going to sit in the middle. Oh, wait. Whose stuff is this? Oh, wait. Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, wait. You were sitting in this corner, but I'll sit here, but you could still sit in the corner. I see what's going on. All right, hold on. Let me put this back here. All right, there we go. Let me scoot this back. There's something over here. Give me some room.
Well, where's the founders?
Since there's it's just kind of loud in here right now, can I continue this later?
Yeah.
I want to hear more from you later.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. This is Alex, aka Dos Equis, live on Inspirato Projecto.
Here's another fun fact about train hopping. Why do people hop trains? The adrenaline rush associated with riding the rails is often cited by seasoned train hoppers as their drug of choice. With a sense of invincibility, they see it as playing a game with the train. And that's your fun fact.
This is Blythe Baines, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.